The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Forgetting to start the hottest quarterback in the league? Josh Allen? Not smart. Using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Welcome into the Monday edition of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It is the most must-see podcast in all of America.
Get why you said that.
To invoke the great Miz from WWE. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell, your usual crew. We are here. It is not quite the end of Week 14, but many people may already know their playoff fate. Hopefully yours is better than playing against Amari Cooper and Derrick Henry.
Or George Kittle.
Or George, even, you know what?
Yeah.
T.Y. Hilton.
But if you
someone's
have a
playing
league
against T.Y. Hilton and George Kittle.
Thing. I play in a league that only counts second half scoring.
Oh.
But if it's George Kittle, I'm okay.
Yeah, right, sure.
First half scoring league, I'm not doing so well.
How weird was that?
That was weird. But we'll talk about that and so much more. We got a great show ahead of us. Hopefully your playoff hopes are still alive. I'm sure, Matthew, did you even play a playoff game this weekend? Or did you just have first round buys?
I had a decent amount of first round buys, but I had a couple
NBD.
Playoff games. I had a couple of first round. I was asked a question. I'm answering it. Starfania Bell. Oh, look, the gun show is back.
That's right. A lot of
people very upset on Sunday. I got a lot of tweets about people. Where'd the
sleeves.
Gun show go? Yeah, you wore.
Tell them to
on
turn
Sunday.
Up the temperature in the studio, and I will. I noticed it's been warmer in this studio lately. Is that by design?
I gotta get right on that. That's high on my list of priorities. So to answer a direct question that I was asked, Stefania, to answer a direct question that I was asked.
That'd be a first.
I had a decent amount of first round buys, but I did play in a number of playoff games. Yesterday, a lot of them, I play in a lot of ESPN standard leagues or using standard league rules. So I had, I had three different playoff games yesterday that were the first half, you know, because in ESPN playoffs, in terms of our standard rules, it's a 2-week playoff. So it's week 14 and 15 of the semis, 16 and 17 are the finals. And so I think I had three leagues where I was in the, you know, the first week of a 2-week playoff there, including my two vampire leagues, by the way. So, and both of those went well. But unless Sebastian Janikowski has the game of his life tonight, Field Yates, I'm going to lose in my show, the fantasy show, the playoffs. I'm going to lose to our producer.
You heard it here first. Sebastian Janikowski's rushing for two touchdowns tonight.
I need something.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay. Yeah.
My favorite thing was that Tarika just hit the button when you was like, "We're going." Tarika, you have caught
Tarika.
On.
You get a raise.
Hey.
Tarika gets a raise. Let's begin on Thursday night during the Derrick Henry Show. It was a 30-9 drubbing Titans over the Jacksonville Jaguars. For the Jags, Leonard Fournette missed his second straight game because of a suspension. Oh, he wasn't suspended, Daniel? He just played terribly in a game
when
we all
accurate.
Needed him?
Yep.
14 rushing yards, 14 rushes for 36 yards for Leonard Fournette amongst a weekend where some other superstars stepped up to the plate. Leonard Fournette was one of the grave disappointments in Week 14, Matthew.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, 14 touches, 36 yards. In such contrast is that Derrick Henry had such a massive game. And so, like, everyone in their right mind would have started Fournette, wouldn't have started Derrick Henry. And it's weird because his volume had been so significant. Part of the reason was that the Titans just dominated this game. And so Fournette sort of got taken out of this game on some level. But it was just weird because the three games previous to this game where after Fournette had been back, his volume had been among the leaders in the NFL. So the fact that he got just 16 touches in this one, you know, just very, very weird. Part of the problem was, you know, credit the Tennessee line, right? I mean, Leonard Fournette got 0.64 yards per carry before first contact in this game. Tennessee just got, you know, just got past the line. And, you know, if you can't get a full yard without somebody tackling you hard to get positive yardage.
I'd agree on that part. Let's talk about Tennessee because the story of the night, and maybe of
but
the
he
fantasy-
remains the only Leonard Fournette. You're still starting him this week if he managed to survive that.
Right, he's the only Jaguar we have any interest in.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a home game against my Redskins. You're starting Leonard Fournette this week. Don't get killed.
You heard it here first. Start Leonard Fournette. Let's talk about the Titans because really the story of the weekend was Derrick Henry's monster game. 17 rushes.
Looked like he was back in Alabama.
Yards, four touchdowns. Yeah, he looked like he was back.
I mean, that looked like the guy
another
running
Heisman Trophy.
Maybe he was inspired. You know, it was Heisman Trophy week. Alabama's in the playoffs. Maybe he was just, no.
Maybe he started himself in fantasy football in the playoffs.
That is possible.
47.8 points. Now, before you tell us nobody started
Well,
Derrick
I would
Henry.
Assume, let me put it this way. I would assume that if that were true, Field Yates, that Derrick Henry started himself in the fantasy playoffs, I would assume he got to the fantasy playoffs by keeping himself on his bench. Because let's face it, he didn't do anything up until 33% of his points for the season came this past Thursday night. I mean, a third of his fantasy points for the year came in one game. Derrick Henry didn't have a game with more than 58 rushing yards for the season prior. Did that in one play.
The question becomes this then, right?
Yeah.
Derrick Henry this next week plays the Giants in New York. He has rushed for a touchdown in five of his past seven games. Is he usable in week 15?
He is under flex consideration.
Right. He's a touchdown dependent flex. That's what he is.
And you know, obviously he had four on Thursday night. And I know a lot of people like, look, hindsight's always 20/20, but for people that are beating themselves up for not playing, Derrick Henry, for starting Fournette over Henry, for example, you would do that 99 times out of, honestly, I'd do that 100 times out of 100. There's literally nothing that would suggest that you should have started Derrick Henry as anything other than, to your point, a touchdown-dependent flex.
Corey Davis disappoints. Two catches for 21 yards. Our favorite tightened most weeks, but he couldn't get it done. Deion Lewis, just 13 rushing
but
yards.
But like when you hand up to Derrick Henry and he's running into the end zone, you don't need to throw it to Corey Davis.
Correct.
I mean, they dominated this game.
Well, just underscores that there's really no Titan you would like to play in your fantasy playoffs week to week, other than perhaps kicker Ryan Succop. All right, the Cowboys. How about them Cowboys win 29-23 over the Philadelphia Eagles in overtime? Mm-hmm. An incredible finish to that game. Really, the fourth quarter and beyond was unreal. For the Eagles, let's start
some
there.
Some brutal calls in that game. Ultimately,
oh, my
not.
God. Could the NFL have officiated offensive pass interference worse yesterday?
It was terrible.
Now, it obviously did not end up costing the Eagles, but Dallas Goedert breathed on a Cowboys defensive back, and they managed to call him for offensive pass interference. Nuked a long touchdown for Dallas Goedert.
It was so
ticky-tack
and BS. It was just a brutal, just an awful call.
But the Eagles, like,
They got the Eagles for
First play of the game. Right. The Eagles forced a fumble of the Dallas kickoff return, Jordan Lewis, but the ref ruled that it was not really a fumble on the field, and because the Eagles did not clearly recover the ball in the eyes of the refs, which my eyes are 20/20, I think. I'm not even sure what 20/20 exactly means, but I think they're pretty good. And he definitely recovered that ball.
Yeah.
We digress.
No, there was
anyway,
a bunch of like, and there was another ridiculous, you know, roughing the passer, you know, call as well. That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyways,
it was a bad game for the Stripes, but it was a good game for some people in fantasy. Okay, for some Eagles here. Carson Wentz goes for 18.8 fantasy points. We weren't really advocating for Carson Wentz as a start. If you did start him, it kind of paid off. Not a monster game relative to
other
quarterbacks.
Listen, he exceeded his ESPN projection. I had him on the hate list, so you know that's a wrong call for me. But I would stand by it. Look, under 230 passing yards, he got bailed out by the touchdowns. So you can argue that the Goddard touchdown came back, so, and that was legit, but.
That might have given him a few more passing yards, because they ended up scoring on that drive when
correct.
He ended up hooking up with, Darren Sproles, who got that late touchdown for them in the receiving game. But really for the Eagles, Alshon Jeffrey, we said he was a touchdown dependent flex play. He was better than that yesterday. He had 6 for 50 and a touchdown. But it came at the expense of Golden Tate, who had one catch for 7 yards, like the Eagles. As you're going to hear the theme today.
And Alshon Jeffrey was invisible for the majority of this game field. And then towards the end of the game started to come on. There's like a couple of drives there. But I felt like as they head in to the Rams in week 15, other than Zach Ertz, is there anyone on this team you feel good about starting?
Like, there are players who will prove start worthy, but there is nobody that I'm like, I'm really excited to throw, you know, Josh Adams into my RB2 slot, who had 7 carries for 36 yards, nothing in the passing game.
Or Alshon or Golden Tate. I mean, I feel like going forward, who would you rather have? If you have to pick one Eagles pass catcher that isn't named Zach Ertz, who would you have the rest of the season?
I kind of think it would still be Golden Tate.
Yeah.
Like, I know it sounds crazy after one catch for 7 yards on yeah. three targets, but I don't, like, the fact that I'm so indecisive underscores that really the answer is I don't want any of them.
I think I would prefer Golden Tate just because I think there's probably, despite what we saw yesterday, a higher floor. You know, I think there's 4 games that they've played together, these two, and Tate's been better for 3 of them.
Yeah.
I mean, Alshon Jeffrey needs to get in the end zone for the most part, and so, but yeah, neither of them you feel good about. This is, for a team that came into the season with such high expectations for their offense, Wentz is like a high-end QB2, you know,
yeah.
and, you know, and obviously with the exception of Ertz, the rest of them are just sort of like kind of close your nose and point and hope.
Yeah.
Guys that you don't feel good about, especially on the road at LA, you know, the Rams are going to be all fired up next week.
After a loss last night, we'll discuss that a little bit later on in the show. Stefania, you know who doesn't have to worry about starting? Amari Cooper, because he's in every lineup now, or he should be. He went crazy yesterday.
He
was
crazy.
Like, yo, Derrick Henry, nice job, but I got you by one extra point. 49.7 fantasy points for Cooper. Cooper got loose.
I think if anybody's wondering if he can handle the number one wide receiver role, I think that question was decisively answered yesterday. I know we were talking about it in the pre-show meeting, but my favorite part was his interview after the game where it was like, what's it like? And I think, to be fair to a player like this, you see him go from one situation to another, and we have these ideas about a player. I wanted no part of Amari Cooper at the start of the season. I talked about it and when we had all of our fantasy preseason shows mm-hmm. because I was concerned about the drop balls and the effort inconsistently and what was happening in Oakland. You put him in Dallas, he looks like another guy. I mean, it's completely different now that he is in a different environment, and the talent is there. We knew the speed was there all along. Talent is there, and he talked about what it feels like to be at a facility where all the things are better. The facility, the coaching, for him, at least, and the winning. And
that
now,
helps.
You got a guy who, I think, if you've got him, if you've kept him for fantasy playoffs, he's thriving.
Yeah, look, I was in on him at the beginning of the year, obviously, and in on him as soon as he came to Dallas, because I liked his talent a little bit more than you did at the beginning of the year, Stefania. You know, talking about the fact that this kid's still just 24 years old. I don't think people remember that or realize that. That gets forgotten somewhat.
It's old.
Yeah.
In my eyes.
So, yeah, in your
There's
eyes, fair.
20-year-olds in the league. I mean, he's been there for more than a minute.
He's got to be, Keith, can we look this up? He will be the first player to ever be the biggest bust and biggest breakout player in the same season.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible for the Raiders. And he's been awesome for the Cowboys. The
point is not to be
this was somebody that was on the love list this week that's been on the love list for a while. Like his target share, and I feel like we talk about this every week. I've certainly written about it a number of times and we've talked about it on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus. His target share continues to be absolutely ridiculous. I mean, 30 targets in the past 3 games. I think I want to say coming into this game, I think his target share was over 24%. Thirsty Kyle gives me a thumbs up. So, I mean, that was coming into this game, and we've talked about the Eagles secondary problems for a while now. So honestly, look, you never expect 3 touchdowns. You never expect 217 yards and 10 receptions. But you expected a big game from Amari Cooper in this one, or at least you should have.
And you got one from him. You got one from Zeke, who went crazy for 31.3 points.
I want to make a say something about Zeke here. For all the talk about the officiating, one of the things that did get called that I was actually happy to see was a lowering the head penalty on an offensive player. First time this season it's been called. We heard in the preseason that this would happen. It was part of the new focus on safety, and we know that running backs are often the ones that lower their head and put themselves at risk. And the whole premise behind this is it's not just who they're hitting, but it's themselves. He suffered a stinger on that play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is part of the reason they do it. Now, he went off, you perhaps saw him on the sideline. He went and got evaluated, was able to return 6 plays later. But I thought it was actually the right move. And to his credit, afterwards, he said, I need to go back and look at the tape. Because he wasn't comfortable talking about it, but he said, if that's on me and I was the one lowering my head, then I need to do something differently. I mean, that's ultimately what the NFL wants to hear in terms of guys lowering their head. So
Reed's still wondering where his call is. Alvin Kamara's still wondering where his call is. There's a lot of players out there still wondering where their call is. But yeah, they got it. They got Zeke on one. Good.
Well,
there you go. They nailed one. They nailed one of like 400 calls.
You can be cynical here, but the point is
I'm sorry. What is cynical about that? I mean, in all seriousness, the Jordan Reed call, the Alvin Kamara call, and those are amplified because they were on sort of national broadcast. And seriously, what's being cynical about that? Because for all the talk that they've made about making this a priority, they have, I think, objectively been, they have failed in that respect in calling that consistently. and call, I mean, like.
I think this is another conversation for a different time, given the context of it, but I understand that there are people that are disappointed like Matthew. There are other people that are encouraged after the call yesterday, as Stefania noted. Dak had a massive game, probably his best passing game as a pro. 455
yards. Before we move on to Dak, the only thing that I just thought was really interesting about Ezekiel Elliott, and this is where I actually thought Stefania was going, was 12 receptions.
Yeah.
Like, you might just see the box score, and, oh, yeah, Zeke ran nuts. But I just thought that was fascinating, just his continued emergence as a pass catcher, his continued usage in the passing game. 13 targets field, 12 receptions, 79 yards. Like, he's now had four straight games with at least five catches.
Don't think you want to rock the boat too much at quarterback over the final 3 weeks of the season, but if, you know, maybe Ben Roethlisberger doesn't play on Saturday or you have some concerns about a matchup, Dak's sort of floating there in the interesting category. Now, it took a lot of good things yesterday to go in his favor. I mean, obviously the overtime helps. The fact that he catches that last touchdown to Amari Cooper is, I mean, it's fluky, right? I mean, it probably could have been picked. It ends up being a touchdown. That gets Dak to 24 fantasy points yesterday, but with Indianapolis on the road, Tampa Bay at home, and the Giants on the road in week 17, Dak, a name we'll be discussing as it pertains to quarterback rankings each week.
We talked about him a while ago when they got the Amari Cooper trade, and we talked about him like, hey, this is somebody that we think actually, and no one was as down on Dak in the preseason as I was, but the minute they got Amari Cooper, I said like, hey, this is somebody that I think can be a viable top 12 quarterback over the final weeks of the playoffs here. Look at his upcoming schedule. We talked about a schedule a lot. And then to your point about that, at the Colts this week, home to Tampa Bay, at the Giants, not one of those defenses scares you. I think he'll be able to put up points. And certainly, as you sit here and you think about Aaron Rodgers next week going to Chicago, you think about sort of the disappointing performances that we've seen from Cam Newton over the last couple of weeks, and he's banged up. The fact that Drew Brees has been down. Anyway, Dak is going to be a very viable option for a lot of teams playing next week.
Julio! There's one good thing about the Falcons right now. It's Julio Jones. 8 catches, 106 yards, 2 touchdowns on 11 targets. Julio Jones is now the only player in NFL history to ever have 5 straight seasons of 1,400 or more receiving yards.
He's very good.
He's very good. Matthew, with the analysis that you can't get anywhere else.
Julio, a lot of people say, why is Matthew Berry in the stature that he is in the industry? And I think it's for analysis like that.
His hair and his analysis.
My hair, my analysis. Yeah. And listen, Julio Jones is good at football. A lot of people are like, who's good at football? I'll tell you who's good at football. Julio Jones is good at football. Thank you very much. God bless. Secret Squirrel, clip that off and send that to the Fantasy Sports Trade Association.
Send it to
win Analyst of the Year again.
The news desk might take a story.
Yeah. Steve SportsCenter wants to do a 5-minute hit with me on that.
So Julio Jones goes nuts.
In fact, I don't want to get super hot takey here, but I'll say it, whatever. I don't care. I don't mind. He's very good at football. Yeah, I'm pushing my chips in the middle there. There you go. Do you hear me, America? Feel free to at me on that one. I think Julio Jones is very good at football. Yeah. How about them apples? That's right.
Wow.
Bring it on. Julio Jones. I'm not scared to stand on that island.
I got to come in really quickly. Julio Jones is legitimately the Shawshank Redemption of NFL players. He is the most overrated wide receiver in the NFL. I can't
do it. Wait, I gotta unpack some stuff here. Wait a minute, hang on for a second.
Who are you?
Wait, number one is, why is,
you
may not be,
you could pick.
Yeah, of all the battles you could pick, of all the islands to die on, all the hills to sort of be stranded on. Look, I'm just curious. Secret Squirrel.
Stranding on hills, dying on islands.
Yes. Why would you A, say that you think Julio Jones is the most overrated player in football history?
I've said this from the beginning of the season, to be fair.
Why do you say he, like, even if you're not a fan of Julio, to say he's overrated?
Yeah,
I mean,
yes, that is accurate, because he will give me a game with 300 yards and a touchdown, and then he'll give me a game where he gets me 7.8 fantasy points.
You can argue about his fantasy consistency, but we're talking about literally NFL.
Okay, I'm talking about literally from a fantasy perspective. No, I know this
over the last 6 games.
Yeah, bring it. Go ahead.
Last 6 games, 30.6 points. 3.8 points. So there's your egg you're talking about. 23.8, 23.8, 23.7, 25.1. The week before that, 17.4, 24.4. That sounds pretty overrated to me. Now, who's your boy? Who's your favorite player? Who's your favorite wide receiver? Who's better than that? Give me one. Come on. Feed it to me. Inject it into my veins. You know, like Antonio Brown, is that what you want?
Field is getting
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown's been worse.
Antonio Brown, 8.5 points yesterday, Daniel. You know, during that stretch where Julio went all those 20-plus point games, Antonio Brown to 15.6.
That's fair.
15.2. Come on, dude.
I'm just saying. I'm saying he is a guy that at the start of the season I had no interest in drafting because of that.
Look, this is somebody that prior to this year has struggled with touchdowns.
Struggled with touchdowns?
No, you like Tyreek Hill better, don't you? You like that 6 points he had last week? You like that one?
Look, I'll give you the facts that you're looking for, which is coming into the season, Julio Jones had one season where he finished as a top five fantasy wide receiver, despite the fact that he had been drafted as such almost the majority of his career. So I get that. He is somebody that has not scored a ton of touchdowns. I think four of the last five Thursday night, and keep me honest here, but coming into this year, four of the previous five seasons, he'd never had more than six touchdowns in a year. So I get it, but to say he's overrated, I think is extreme.
How is
and then
that
also,
different?
By the way,
that's overdrafted. Then he's overdrafted. I mean, how is that different than overrated? When we're talking about from a fantasy perspective, I'm drafting him as a top three wide receiver, and he doesn't finish there.
Yeah, except he always finishes like as a top seven guy. Like, I think you could argue like he shouldn't have been in the top two if you wanted to argue Beckham over him. You wanted to over DeAndre Hopkins.
You're wasting too much time on a really dumb argument.
Yeah, well,
we're all right and Daniel's wrong.
Totally. But hang on for a second. Now we got to unpack this Shawshank Redemption thing. You don't like the Shawshank Redemption?
No, it's a great movie, but like for it to be considered like the best movie of all time, where a lot of people have it, it is a top five movie all time for a number of people. I think it's a really good movie. You can be really good and be overrated because people say that you're number one.
Oh, Morgan Freeman apologist, it's like always in the wheelhouse, you know?
It is a great movie.
It's a really great movie. Yeah.
Honestly, I remember reading the script for it before it ever been filmed because, I was friends. Anyway. No. This is back when I was writing in Hollywood and everything like that. And so.
The year was 1951.
No, my roommate at the, whatever. It's very.
Matthew Berry was reading small, the
Shawshank.
Whatever.
Morgan
it's a long
story. Freeman's voice.
I'm going to just tell this to you. Secret Scroll. I'm going to tell this story to you. No, this is just when I'd started out in Hollywood and my roommate was working as an assistant at a talent agency representing Frank Darabont, the guy that at the agency. My roommate didn't do this, but he worked at the agency that represented Frank and brought home this script that Frank was just like, hey, I just wrote this script and I'd like to try to figure out a way for me to not just make it, but I want to direct it. Because a lot of people wanted to direct it and buy it, and he's just like, and Frank held on to it and said, no, I'm not selling the script unless I get to direct it, which, you know, kudos to him. And he just brought it home and I was just like, oh my God, this is such an amazing script. Like, you can't screw this up. And of course he didn't. It's a brilliant film. I always have a soft spot in my heart for that particular film in general. Ito Smith's going to win me a board bet. Look, I don't know how you can start Tevin Coleman going forward at all, Field Yates.
You can't start either one of those Falcons running backs right now. They have been bad. The schedule, but whatever
second,
it is.
Second straight week that Ito Smith has out-touched Tevin Coleman. And it's not that Ito Smith is lighting the world on fire, but he's doing more than enough that you feel you don't like starting Tevin Coleman, not even at home next week against Arizona, which in theory should be a great matchup, but he'll be a shaky flex next week against the Cardinals.
First game for the Packers under Joe Philbin, not Mike McCarthy, and I'm not sure we learned all that much about this offense. Aaron Rodgers was fine, 20 fantasy points, but he throws for less than 200 yards, two touchdowns. He rushed for 23 yards on one play.
So he ends the game with 44 yards rushing total, which is in essence a passing touchdown. So that's sort of like you sit there and you go, oh, 20 points, and you're good about it. But honestly, it was really kind of, you can't count on 40 yards rushing from Aaron Rodgers, who's mobile, but you can't count on that.
There was hope from all of us, myself included, you know, I say maybe myself at the front of this list, that like, hey, you know, like a cloud has been lifted over, you know, Lambeau Field, and all of a sudden they're going to explode offensively. No, that was not the case. They were fine. They obviously won the game. That was good. But Joe Philbin uses two challenges within 90 seconds of the first half.
Come on.
Aaron Jones is not playing to begin the game. Instead, it's Jamal Williams. Devontae Adams does what Devontae Adams does. But, for the Packers, it's pretty much the names you know in the spots you typically know them.
At Chicago next week, you're probably not starting Aaron Rodgers.
How about that? It's pretty crazy, but it's probably true. Yep. Christian McCaffrey and the Carolina Panthers have lost not one, not two, not three, not four, but five straight games.
Is that
That's
bad? Because that sounds
good.
Bad.
It's not very good, but the good news is that Christian McCaffrey has been doing his part, right? 28.1 fantasy points yesterday. Two touchdowns. He actually had one called back.
Correct. He could have had a three-touchdown game.
Would have been pretty sweet to see that. Yes. But Cam struggled again. Cam Newton, just 10.9 Brutal. Fantasy points. No passing touchdowns yesterday for Cam. And the Panthers have done this on a couple of occasions where they've had Taylor Heinicke throw the football at the end of a game or half situation. Stefania, he is continuing to play, But there are a lot of people just around the NFL that believe, despite the fact that he's on the field, that Cam is like hurt.
I think
he's hurt.
Yeah, and I think they acknowledged that last week. I think we saw that reflected in the fact that he did not practice until the final day. That's sort of been his pattern, but this week we talked about it was different. Ron Rivera said he was more sore. Cam came up with this kind of coy, I cannot confirm nor deny that sure. I'm going to have a procedure on my shoulder in the offseason. I really think this is a function of the accumulation of what's happened over the course of the season. It's hard for that to truly improve without sustained rest. So I'm not sure. I mean, you hope you get a better guy before the end, but I'm not sure you can say that you will.
And here's the takeaway from that field is that Cam Newton, who has under 35 rushing yards in five of the past six, whose 10.9 points were his worst game of the year. Tristan H. Cockcroft does a great article every single week, sort of a winners and losers of the week. And so I encourage you to check it out. But this is what Tristan wrote about Cam Newton, who was obviously in the losers column. It's his worst in any game since 2017.
Womp.
His 10th worst ever of his 122 career NFL starts.
Womp, womp.
You know, and remember, he nearly lost a fumble. It was overturned. He had an interception negated by penalty. So his day actually could have been more. You say, you're, wow, 10 points was worse. It actually could have been six. Had the fumble not been overturned and had there not been a penalty on the interception, there actually could have been a minus four there. Just two touchdown passes total over his last two games. He's been brutal. I mean, and the game that I'm complaining about where I, you know, the guy that I was playing had George Kittle and T.Y. Hilton. Guess who my quarterback was in that playoff matchup?
Cam
Newton. Good job, Princeton. Yeah, she guessed that correctly. Okay. That's right. So that's the one where I need 20 points tonight from Sebastian Janikowski, which I doubt
is
seven
going
field goals. It's happening. Plus
I just need, no, I don't even need seven field goals. I just need like 4 50-yard field goals.
Totally possible tonight.
I mean, just, you know.
Cam struggles, but Ian Thomas did not. He filled in for Greg Olsen. 11 targets, 9 catches for 77 yards. Ian Thomas came out of Indiana, an excellent athlete. Hey, he's got 4 games this year with 5 targets. Those games, of course, 3 when Greg Olsen was not playing. One when Greg Olsen got hurt early in that game last week. Ian Thomas could be a thing here. There are approximately 3 tight ends in the NFL that are any good. Ian Thomas is trying to make it 4. I'm slightly exaggerating
well,
there. And only
well,
three,
without but. With Cam banged up, he's clearly like, you know, he struggles on the deep ball. So he's trying to keep it short. And while this offense is revolving around Christian McCaffrey, it wouldn't surprise me to see them focus a little bit more on Ian Thomas and the underneath stuff. Cam Newton is no longer a must-start quarterback field. Would you agree with that? Like, he is no longer a set-it-and-forget-it guy. They are home next week to the Saints.
Yeah, I was going to say, the matchups are really good, though. Saints, Falcons, at the Saints.
Yeah, but this game was at Cleveland. Like, this is a good matchup.
No.
Like, he's had good matchups.
They're bad on the road this year. The Panthers are 1-5 on the road.
No, I understand.
1-6 on the road now.
They've lost 6 in a row. They've been bad everywhere.
No, they're 5-1 at home.
But they haven't lost. They lost last week at home, didn't they?
Yeah, they're 5-1 at home this year, and they're 1-6 on the road this year. Yeah, they're bad on the road. They're good at home typically. So it's an interesting conversation.
But you think Cam Newton is a must start? He's a set and forget it.
My
point was, I don't think he is a. I don't think he is given how he has played, given the injuries, and everything like that. I don't know that he is a
certainly up there.
But I'm just saying, I don't know that he is a set it and forget it. Not you're not even considering any other options than Cam Newton, I think, at this point.
Fair enough. Jarvis Landry was awesome. He almost went for what we are trying to call the David Patton hat trick. That's the closest we could get to it right now. Landry had a rushing touchdown yesterday. He had a receiving touchdown yesterday. And he threw a pass into the end zone. Like, he almost had a throwing touchdown, which would have been sweet. For those who don't recall, David Patton in like 2001, I think it was, threw for a pass, caught a touchdown pass, and also rushed for a score against the Colts in the same game. Kyle notes that, of course Kyle notes, LaDainian Thomas was last one to do it. It actually took place in 2005. Maybe we'll call it the LT21 hat trick.
Oh, LT. Well, yeah. That's a good call.
That'll work. Anyways, Jarvis Landry, 2 straight good games from Landry. That's good to see. Even though the volume was pretty low as a receiver yesterday, only 4 targets, but it was good to see Jarvis Landry bounce back and their matchups going forward at Denver, Cincinnati, pretty good over the next 2. Baltimore on the road in week 17. Not so great. But David Njoku fell flat. This is a great matchup. It's supposed to be the gateway, the sieve defense of the Carolina Panthers against tight ends. David Njoku delivers with just 3 for 35 on 4 targets, although could have had more if he had caught that last target. I think it was about a 30-yard catch as Keith tracked in that game that falls short. Njoku had a disappointing season so far.
He certainly has. Hey, very quickly, just to clean this up, by the way, I was incorrect on this one, Field. So the week before, they actually were at the Buccaneers where they lost. They lost to the Seahawks 2 weeks ago at home, and you're correct. That was their first loss at home. I think worth noting in terms of the pass catchers here, DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, I think both wide receiver threes. Devin Funchess, welcome to Dumpsville.
Bye-bye, Devin Funchess. It was nice knowing you, but he is going to actually be heading to free agency.
Yeah,
so that's interesting.
Say, not only
timing is everything in life.
I don't think he's going to be
for the better and worse. The Saints. Here's the good news.
Who dat?
25 points unanswered in the second half yesterday, or at least in the second quarter and beyond. They win by 14 points. The bad news is they only win 28-14. And for fantasy purposes, like, you're counting on the Saints to carry you to glory. Mike Thomas did his part. 11 for 98 on 13 targets, 20.8 points. Alvin Kamara, fine. 15.7 points, including 5 catches. But Drew Brees, back-to-back weeks. Drew Brees, over the past 2 weeks, has accounted for less than 22 fantasy points. We're just sitting here talking about whether Cam's a must-start. Is Drew Brees a must-start anymore, Matthew?
On the road at Carolina, I don't think he is. Like, I think there's a lot of sort of big-name guys, Cam Newton, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, that are not must-start Tom Brady, not must-start. I mean, and I know Brady had the big game last week, and we'll talk about him coming up, but, like, I don't think any of them are, like, in that set-it-and-forget-it Patrick Mahomes. Like, you're not even thinking about it. Like, it doesn't matter who they're playing. You're starting them no matter what. I don't think you can say that about Drew Brees, who's got 166 passing yards over his last three games. That's what he's averaging, okay? He's got 2 touchdown passes over his last 2 games. Only a 1-yard BS rushing touchdown that you certainly can't count on from Drew Brees saved his day in this one. Because otherwise, you're looking at like a, you know, you're looking at a, whatever, you're, whatever, like an 8-point game, a single, yeah, I was told there'd be no math, a single-digit fantasy point output.
Yeah, it was a bad game.
And so you sit here, you think about next week, Field, sorry, but you sit here and think about next week, you're at Carolina, you're like, well, that's a bad defense. This was a bad defense on the road at Tampa Bay.
Historically bad.
Like, if you can't do it at Tampa Bay, like, and I know we talk about the home road splits with, you know, we talk about road Ben all the time. Road Drew has not been good this year, has not traditionally been good throughout his career. And so you would think this would be a good matchup at Carolina in week 15. But again, this was a great matchup at Tampa Bay in week 14. And he just didn't do anything here. Got so bailed out by the rushing touchdown. Did he? He did. Yeah, he had the rushing touchdown, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. One yard.
So, up and over.
And it's at the wrong time. I mean, I think Mark Ingram is a touchdown-dependent flex. Alvin Kamara no longer a top-5 fantasy running back. I think he's more of a lower-end RB1 as the offense is sort of like sort of tailed off a little bit.
Interesting.
You guys are you disagree with me?
I don't know that I would automatically say he's not top-5.
I have to check the box score here, Matthew, to see what kind of production he's been giving us recently. Because I don't think it's been that bad, you know, has it?
It's been great. 3 straight games without a touchdown.
Yeah, maybe you're onto something, Matty B. Good call, Dad. You're getting smart in your old age. They've been less productive. Sorry, there was some sort of...
No, I just eye-rolled at the camera.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I talk to you, sometimes I talk to Stefania, sometimes I talk to Daniel, but a lot of times I just talk to the audience because they're the people that care. They're the ones that I love. Listen, contractually, I have to spend time with these guys, but you at home, you're who I actually like. You're who I appreciate. You're who warms the cockles of my heart. If it wasn't for you guys at home, I would have cold cockles. That's what would happen.
And we're moving on.
Yeah, time to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after that lip service there from Matty.
Right.
Jameis Winston had an okay game yesterday. The good news was he didn't get benched. He had 47 rushing yards, 19.2 fantasy points. No, that was a legitimate, like, hey, if this game is out of hand and you start Jameis Winston, all of a sudden it's the Fitzmagic show
in
the second half.
For all the, you know, and look, I mean, you know me. I've been on Tampa Bay's quarterback. I've been on Jameis all year long, and certainly the game he got benched where I was all in on him doesn't look good on the resume, as it were. But the fact is, Jameis Winston now has 4 straight games with multiple touchdown passes. He's had over 19 fantasy points in every single game that he's played all of this season. So the games where he hasn't been pulled, over 19 fantasy points.
Yeah.
He's been much more consistent the last couple games than Drew Brees, than Tom Brady, than Cam Newton. So some of these guys that are big superstars haven't been nearly as good. Aaron Rodgers hasn't. Matt Ryan. None of them have been as good as Jameis Winston over the last 3 or 4 games.
Jameis Winston has been very solid, very steady, but his top target Mike Evans has not really been that. 4 for 86 yesterday on 6 targets. The problem with Mike Evans, he's not scoring touchdowns anymore. No. Just 2 touchdown catches over his past 10 games. He got a touchdown in each of his first 3 games this season. You want to, you know, bicker about him, Daniel? Seriously, like, he causes you more consternation than Julio.
No, it's all right. I'm okay.
Okay. Daniel got out of his system. Yeah. He's no, well, they, the Daniel,
I roster Mike Evans on a number of leagues, and it's incredibly frustrating, but that's my own fault because I have him in Dynasty League. I'm not going to draft Julio anymore, but I probably also won't draft Mike Evans if I can help it.
Daniel. I feel like you've seen pictures of Mike Evans, right? He's really tatted up. Okay. So I wonder if that's, you know, Daniel is like sort of being, I don't know how many tattoos Julio has, but right. I just feel like you're being like, you know, tattoo discriminatory.
I only
like
have 4. What are you talking about?
You only have 4.
Well, they're just 4 tattoos.
Yeah, one arm.
I got a big, yeah, that's it. They're just chest. They're 4 big tattoos. Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Inner lip is next for Daniel. It's going to be, it's going to say, anyway, whoever your ride or die is just right there. Feeling it, but one right of the, across the lower lip. Feeling it.
Zenner. It's going to say Zenner right across the inside like that. Of it.
Zenner.
On the bottom upper lip it says Jim Bob, and then on the under it says Cooter.
That wouldn't be too bad, yeah.
That's not
you
bad.
You can only show them off like going like this. Right, hey, guys, exactly. Catch.
I like it. Oh, I like it.
Anyways,
we're off the rails here.
Yeah, great time to be off the rails in the playoffs. Buccaneers, let's keep it going. Mike Evans.
This is what a week like this will do to you.
Yes. But I think that one of the reasons why Jameis Winston has been so good is all the talented pass catchers is one of the reasons why Mike Evans is more wide receiver 2 than wide receiver 1. The positives are over 85 receiving yards in 3 of the last 4. So he's getting you the yardage. The problem is just he's not getting to the end zone.
Lesser volume. If you started Chris Godwin, the good news is he got 10 targets. The bad news is he caught one of them. We called it the Mike Evans special,
right.
Because Evans also did that earlier on this year. One catch on 10 targets. The reality for the Bucs is they spread it out so wide that it's so difficult to say one player is going to be the target monster week to week.
Although we thought Adam Humphries had a chance here, and Humphries, you know, continues to get looks. Had 8 targets here, fell just short of a touchdown, which is very frustrating. Cameron Brate catches only 2 passes, gets only 2 targets. Both of them happen to be in the end zone. Like, would you just like he was on the hate list with a legitimately good reason. Here's a guy that's only getting 10% of the target share against a team that had coming into this game had given up 1 touchdown to an opposing tight end all year long. And of course, Cameron Brate on a lot of benches. Catches 2 passes for 2 touchdowns and 15 fantasy points.
Dream shatter.
They are
Cameron
at
narrative buster Cameron Brate.
Absolutely. But they are at Baltimore next week, so lower expectations for all of them, including Jameis.
Buccaneers are awesome at home defensively. No, they're not. The Ravens are, though, was what I was trying to say.
There you go.
You know something? You put a lot of thought into your starting lineup each week. You read articles. You look at projections. Read love, hate. You even listen to us to give you an edge and feel confident in your decisions. The bottom line is you'll do anything it takes to give your team the best chance to win. Well, TD Ameritrade feels the exact same way about you and your investing. That's why they make sure you have all the tools you need, take on the markets the same way you take on every matchup in your fantasy league. Their easy-to-use technology lets you follow the markets with ease and even trade on all your favorite devices and social media platforms. TD Ameritrade also makes it easy to learn new investing concepts with short videos and immersive online courses that are available to you anytime you want them. And their trade desk team is available around the clock by phone or chat to answer all of your questions and help gut check your trade strategies. Visit tdameritrade.com/fantasyfocus to learn more, open an account, and get ready to set your investing lineup. Once again, that's tdameritrade.com/fantasyfocus to get started. Member SIPC.
I got to tell you, I asked when I posted a link to the Twitter viewing audience, you know?
Sure. What? Say that again. Yeah, I was very confused by what that was.
Like, I want to remember that Stefania went to Princeton. She has many degrees.
Well, you know what?
She always talks about how smart she is.
I was reading the responses. I asked people to let us know how their fantasy playoffs are going, and I'm giggling over here because some of the things people are sending in are so funny. And I'm enjoying it. So thank you. some of them I just can't say out loud, but I love that people are coming up with names. Like, I got Kittle.
Go ahead.
And
I like that one.
I got won Kittle. Because Amari Cooper's my point. So the most popular responses, Amari Cooper, George Kittle, that's what I'm seeing so far. They're the ones who changed it.
Yeah, I would say that's a fair assessment. All right. T.Y. Hilton anyway, and the Indianapolis Colts win a critical game over the Houston Texans in Houston. They snap the 9-game winning streak. Wow. T.Y. Hilton also went crazy, and a lot of the Colts kind of performed as you would hope them to. T.Y. 9 for 199, 28.9 fantasy points. Andrew Luck throws for 399 yards, 23.6 fantasy points. Eric Ebron does his Eric Ebron thing.
By the way, in a week,
and a touchdown.
Can we take a moment here and
Luna, go ahead,
take a shot of Tarika. Proud Tarika wearing her Colts gear right there. Tarika behind the glass. Yes. There you go, Tarika. I just want to
Tarika, who cut you off so intelligently.
But you know what? And yet,
show.
Here I got news for you. Despite the fact Tarika cut me off, I still like her more than either of you two Jamokes. And I want to congratulate Tarika as the Colts representative here on the Fantasy Focus 06010, because in a week in which guys like Jared Goff and Drew Brees and Cam Newton let everyone down, Andrew Luck showed up. He was on the love list this week, and I said, look, I know he was bad last week, and this was a tough matchup against the Texans, but I believe he will show up, and he did in a big way here. I thought he would throw a ton, and he did. 41 passes, almost 400 yards, 2 touchdowns here. Even ran a little bit.
Yeah.
Got you 1.6 points with his legs.
That is definitely a little bit.
It's a little bit.
Accurate assessment of a little bit, yeah.
Listen, guy finished with over 23 fantasy points. If you had Andrew Luck as your fantasy quarterback yesterday, you are very happy, much happier than the people that started Goff or Trubisky or Brees or Cam, for example.
Yeah. Pretty chalky day, though, for the Colts otherwise. Marlon Mack falls into the end zone. Difficult matchup there. Difficult matchup ahead next week against the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys who won, of course, as we discussed earlier on in the show. Let's move along to the Texans again.
Anyway, congratulations,
Tarika. By the way, a lot of people were worried about T.Y. Hilton. Yeah. He's
not
fine.
Not so much. Stefania says, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Texans.
I mean,
he
was a game time decision, and that's how it was reported.
No, he was questionable coming into it, but there were a lot of hints that he was going to be ready to go.
Yeah.
He remains Andrew Luck's favorite target.
Obviously.
As evidenced by yesterday. Yeah.
No, Sean Watson.
Point being, he's fine.
Sean Watson and the Texans, not a great game for anybody, really. Watson got you 18.2 points. DeAndre Hopkins found the end zone, but just 36 yards on 4 catches. Lamar Miller fell into the end zone. He got 16.2 points. Those are the three guys. And those are the three guys and only the three guys in Houston. You're still feeling great about Hopkins every single week. Miller, pretty sort of like low-end RB2. And Deshaun Watson, like, not much to say. He, like, in a year where other quarterbacks have emerged, is far more reliable. Watson really has only hit that ceiling on a couple of occasions.
He has, but his rushing, sort of by hook or by crook has kind of been, kept the floor high on Deshaun Watson in a way that some of the other bigger name guys haven't, you know, at least more recently. Look, you're not doing anything about it because you're still starting every week, but it is worth noting that since week 10, which is their bye week, DeAndre Hopkins down to 14 fantasy points a game, which, you know, you're like, well, I'd take 14 fantasy points a game. But this is a guy that was averaging over 20 prior to that.
All right, so you're saying
I just said you're not doing anything. It's just worth noting for, like, DFS purposes or whatever. It does seem like there has been not as much volume for DeAndre Hopkins as recently. And if it wasn't for actually an unbelievable play on Deshaun Watson, because Hopkins is running around in the back of the end zone and Watson is extending the play and finally finds Hopkins at the back of the end zone. If it wasn't for that one play, it's a very pedestrian day for DeAndre Hopkins, whose touchdown sort of bails him out.
There you have it. DeAndre Hopkins and the Texans next play on Saturday. Remember that?
Yeah,
Saturday.
Two Saturday games.
Early. Let's talk about the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Texans and Jets, by the way. Game is in New York. I'll be there.
You'll be there.
I'll be at that game.
Wow.
At the Texans and Jets game.
Okay, then. Humble brag.
Anytime you get the chance to go watch the New York Jets.
It's the FanDuel Fantasy Football World Championships, and I'm hosting it, and then afterwards that the game is there. So it's at the Meadowlands, and you know FanDuel has a whole facility there. So we're doing all that. So that'll be fun. So anyway, if you're at the game, please come say hello.
One of the 12 Jets fans at the game. Go find Matthew. Just kidding.
Hey, listen,
that was a fake laugh right there.
Ravens
and Chiefs overtime game, 27-24 is the final. For the Ravens, like, we've gotten to the point now.
Like, I feel like I'm nice with my fake laughs with you. I feel like I feel like I'm very generous.
Oh.
I feel like that's, I mean, I feel like it's a polite thing to do.
Right? I mean, dads do that to their kids.
Well, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I'm trying to be encouraging. Honestly, I think I fake laugh pretty nicely for everyone on this show.
Oh, well.
To be candid.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Father.
You're welcome.
Now we know.
The Ravens may not have a single player that you can start in fantasy football anymore. Seriously. I mean, Lamar Jackson gets you 19 fantasy points yesterday, but it was tough to watch as a thrower. 13 for 24. And then he leaves this game late, Stefania. some sort of
ankle injury. Issue. Went to have X-rays. Kind of sounds like, you know, pretty vague on it. Hey, it's the Ravens.
Yeah,
no shock. But I think it certainly opens the door for Joe Flacco. Now that we know that Joe Flacco was cleared, even though he was inactive yesterday, he's essentially reached the point where they feel like he could start. Stay tuned and watch the drama in Baltimore.
We'll keep an eye on that one throughout the week. Lamar Jackson, 71 rushing yards. Not quite Josh Allen level, but he was pretty decent. Kenneth Dixon had 59 rushing yards.
Decent.
For the, right?
Okay, yeah. I'm just going to let that fly. I'm just going to let it slide. That's fine.
Don't,
at some
don't
point,
get me started on whether a word is modern or not, Matthew. Like,
I just don't want him to try and copy you.
I'm not going to copy. I'm just like, but that's not. The kids do not say decent.
Yes, they do, dude.
Tarika?
Yes, they do.
Tarika, you're the closest thing we have to hip around
like,
here.
You ask your kids if they want to go to Blockbuster on Fridays. Like, go rent
a
film.
That is the backhanded compliment I've ever heard one.
What? I'm sorry. Hang on. Tarika was talking, and these two are yammer.
I will have to side with Field on this one. This is a word that we are commonly used to hearing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We Gucci Field, definitely.
You're showing your age, father. Anyway, Kenneth Dixon,
really?
8.
Because everyone thought I was a 25-year-old before that moment. Okay.
Well, they thought there was a chance that you were under 50. Now they know there's not.
They thought there was a chance that you were
59
hip.
For Kenneth Dixon. Kenneth Dixon.
I hate all of you. I just want to be clear about that.
Oh, I love
that.
You too. Thanks,
no.
Dad.
No.
What did you get me for Christmas?
That was funny, Matthew.
Hey, good. Hey, no, Luna, do me a favor. Do me a favor. Make sure make sure you can you get a shot of a secret squirrel real quickly? Okay, good. That's for you. Okay. There you go. All right. I want to make sure. All right, good. Stay on. Yeah, good. No. Go off me for one more second. I got one more message. Right there. All you guys. Also for you and Field and Stefania right here. Okay.
I'm on Instagram living this right now. Is that a bad idea?
There you go.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah. I put my fingers away. All right. Yeah. Good.
You coming up on tomorrow's show, Mike Clay takes over for Matthew in a full time role.
Spend time.
We kid.
Can I leave now? Can I just leave now? I got to start prepping for the fantasy show on ESPN+.
All right. In any event, here we go. Moving along. Kenneth Dixon, 8 for 59 in a touchdown. The problem
I think this is the thing.
Well, I think the problem is you can't start any Ravens player.
That is the problem.
Anybody.
Although there was a smoky John Brown sighting.
He got a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Well, I honestly disagree that you can't start anyone.
Okay.
I think it remains to be seen. If Lamar Jackson is starting next week, then I think it becomes a little bit murky. But as weird as it is, because I actually think Ravens.
If Joe Flacco's
in,
you can't
Flacco
start somebody.
Is, right.
Yeah.
Especially they are at home next week against. Right. Because they're at home next week against the Buccaneers.
Correct.
Yeah. At which point then
so
you would.
You can throw deep balls against the Buccaneers.
You certainly can. I mean,
Welcome back, John Brown and Michael Crabtree potentially.
Yeah. I mean, so it would be interesting because it's still a little bit of a mess there, obviously, in terms of who's going to get the looks, and it would be his first game back. But yes, I do think, in deeper leagues, I think Kenneth Dixon is going to be kind of a thing. Remember, this is somebody that John Harbaugh loved back in the day. And then, right, you know, the suspension and the injury, and he's been out for a while. But it's a talented player. I thought he looked good. Just to the eye test in this game field,
right,
I thought he looked good.
The problem is it's Gus Edwards who's still leading the team in running back carries, but he has no involvement in the passing game.
Correct.
Dixon, you're counting on him either catching a bunch of passes or finding the end zone. So hard for me to trust any Ravens running back. Right now, the Chiefs are a major.
But worth noting that Dixon played just 10 less snaps than Gus Edwards yesterday. You know, so yeah.
Patrick Mahomes does Patrick Mahomes things. It wasn't perfect for Mahomes. He still got you nearly 21 fantasy points,
and he just made some ridiculous
77 yards. We are not worthy. Patrick Mahomes is unbelievable, and he did so with
stupid,
not a full strength Tyreek Hill. 8 for 139 for Tyreek Hill on 14 targets. That part is great, but Stefania, he was legitimately banged up yesterday.
He was legitimately hurting yesterday, and if you were watching him on the sideline, they were testing him out periodically, and he looked like he was uncomfortable. Tyreek Hill talked about his heel being painful at the end, but he was crediting the medical staff with wrapping his foot good to get him through the game. Certainly makes you wonder, with another game coming up on Thursday, this does not sound like the kind of thing where it's like, okay, it's just going to be better. You can flood it with treatment and automatically guarantee he'll be better by Thursday. I'd be watching this real closely because there's either a chance that you don't have Tyreek Hill, or if you do have him, you get somebody pretty, you know, in similar shape to what you got on Sunday.
And then you think about maybe a game without Tyreek Hill against, obviously, Thursday night game against the Chargers field, and also maybe no Sammy Watkins. who we haven't seen for a couple of weeks.
You got
right?
Sammy Watkins with a foot issue that's been a problem since week 9. I think he played 5 snaps in week 11.
Correct,
obviously
yeah.
still out with that. And then, I mean, who's it become? Kelvin Benjamin? Really? You're going to be trusting that?
We
Chris
looked at
Conley?
It's good. All time. What's the record for targets? Secret Squirrel?
18.
18.
It's for Zach Ertz among active tight ends.
Zach Ertz had 18 targets in a game. We had Thirsty Kyle look that up before the show. Travis Kelce could beat that on Thursday night.
Yeah, that would
I
not
mean,
be
if
a
no
surprise.
Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins.
Travis Kelce. Yep.
But you're not starting Kelvin Benjamin or, I mean, I guess Chris Conley. But, I mean, that's the other thing is that the Chargers have a really good secondary field.
They do have an excellent secondary. So not an easy match, but Patrick Mahomes does whatever he wants against basically any defensive
that
secondary.
It was like a shortstop.
But another,
and it works.
But another injury here that could have some ramifications. Now he returned to the game, but Spencer Ware's Stephon. The same way, like Tyreek Hill's back on the field at the end of the game, too.
Yeah, they gutted it out.
Spencer Ware had two different issues during the game. He had the shoulder injury, had a hard fall. I mean, people immediately think, man, when a guy falls like that, you're like, ooh, collarbone, you know, whatever. He leaves briefly, comes back, then ends up hurting his hamstring late in the game. I mean, this is not a surprise. Again, if you think about it, Spencer Ware, multi-ligament knee injury, these soft tissue injuries, before he started assuming this bigger role when Kareem Hunt got was no longer part of the team. Remember, I said we haven't seen Spencer Ware carry this kind of workload. He's been good in spots, but the volume was a concern. This is the kind of thing that you're worried about, especially with his situation.
So Damian Williams actually outsnapped him by one on Sunday. Maybe Williams could be a thing on Thursday if we don't have Spencer Ware.
Certainly worth rostering if you have Spencer Ware. I think if Spencer Ware is healthy, I can't imagine starting Damian Williams. I mean, he lucked out with the two short touchdowns, but I think Spencer Ware would still be the guy you would want. But, I mean, the guy missed all of 2017 with an injury. 2016, it seemed like he wore down over the course of that year a little bit, his year as sort of the guy. So I think Stefania's concerns are well-founded.
We'll take a quick break and come back and talk about the craziest play of the NFL season.
Tennessee, you're in the 06010.
You know, the cool thing about watching sports while
whoa,
being on
hold
sports,
on.
Kinda,
even cooler than watching
oh,
sports
come on. You're right. My bad.
Is
fan
our smartest fan of the week.
Hey, this is Josh Buck, the ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week. And I want to give a shout out to my lovely girlfriend, Lita, who, despite her total disinterest in football, is always incredibly supportive on Sundays. Especially when the Bengals bone you or Alfred Moore... never mind. Let's get back to the show. Hey,
well done.
This is
right
Josh
there.
Buck.
I don't know why everybody has this thing on loop. Everyone that uses this studio after us just has it on loop. I don't know why. I just want to play it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Okay. It's on loop. But here, so back to what I was saying. It's great to watch sports while being logged into Twitter because you feel like you're watching it in the stadium with thousands of other people, even if you're not there. The other thing that's great is watching sports in the war room. And on Sunday, we had a war room moment. All the games are on. Patriots up 33-28 with 16 seconds to go. And up by 5 points, the Dolphins throw, I don't even know what you call it. I guess they're calling it the Miracle of Miami. Miami Miracle. Kenyon Drake ends up scoring a touchdown, 50-yard receiving touchdown for him, and initially went to Kenny Stills and to Bryce Butler, and then to Kenyon Drake, an unbelievable finish in
the
that
game.
The
key to that play, I think, and you've watched it a million times, but the key to that play, I think, is when Kenyon Drake gets the ball, he slows down, and everyone, the rest of the defense sort of slows down for a second as if he's going to toss it again, and you think it's going to be one of these crazy, you know, the Stanford Cal band game. And what ends up, if you watch it, like, so right, it goes to Stills, to Parker, and then Drake gets it. He's the third guy to touch the ball, and he slows down for a little bit, and he's looking around to sort of throw someone, and everyone's just sort of waiting to see where he throws it, and then he takes a corner, and then he's off to the races.
Right. And it's also like he saw the hole, because it's like the defense, he pulls them a little bit towards the sideline, and then he cuts.
I mean, like, really in all seriousness, because I've been, you know, I've certainly been negative towards Kenyon Drake at various times over the year, but that was, in addition to just the miraculous nature of it, Kenyon Drake completely makes that play, you know, the play of the year, and, you know, kudos. I think everyone played their part. It was unbelievable, and the blocking was great. Amendola put that. I mean, like, so everyone's great, but Kenyon Drake is magnificent on that play, and I think everyone's talking about the run and taking shots at Gronk because why is Gronk out there and the whole thing, but Kenyon Drake's sort of fake and pause and being able to change speeds that quickly, I mean, a thing of beauty. Give him the ESPY. Give him the ESPY now for best play.
Is it? Does a single person point out if Gronk was even on the field if they just make a tackle? The answer's no.
Of course not.
So it's like one of those 1 trillion type things.
I know. And you unbelievable feel bad ending. For, yeah.
Oh, whatever. I mean, listen. This is sports, right? You got to play 60 full minutes. Tom Brady throws for 358 yards, 3 touchdowns, a vintage Brady performance, his best game of the year. And
minus
Gronk,
a couple things.
Was, well, a certain, best game of the year for fantasy. Yes.
Correct.
Not his best game of the year for real football. Left 3 points on the field at the end of the first half. But Gronk was a beast as well. 8 for 107 with the touchdown and 8 targets, looked kind of Gronkian. Do we think this is something that can be built off for the Patriots in the final 3 games of the year? Gronk and Brady back as like top tier players at their position.
It certainly gives you some confidence. Having said that,
The running back's not so much.
The running back's not so much, and I don't know how much confidence you have in, like, he's done it once, like in the last 5 games.
Yep.
You know, because he's been disappointing, and now he's on the road at Pittsburgh. A Steelers defense that, despite last week at Oakland, has played better recently. Right. I mean, the schedule is not great. At Pittsburgh and then home to Buffalo. So, 2 good defenses that have played well, at least recently. So, I don't think Brady is a set-it-and-forget-it QB1. I'll have him ranked inside my top 12 this week. I haven't done my rankings yet. But do I think he's going to be in one of those, like, I got Brady and I'm not worried about it, I'm not thinking about anyone else? No, I don't think he's there yet. Like, 1 good performance is great, but I don't know that you can count on it. To the point about the running backs here, the only guy that I feel like you can trust, and I use that in quotes, would be Sony Michel.
That's because say the James Devlin.
No, Well, that's the part of the problem, right? Exactly. James Devlin, who has 4 touchdowns in what is it, the last 3 games, I think?
4 games.
Last 4 games. 4 touchdowns in the last 4 games. We talked about this on Fantasy Football Now in the morning field, where I believe it was Jeff Darlington that was reporting from this game for us. And he mentioned that he'd spoken to Mike Reese, the great Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots for us, does an amazing job. But just James Devlin's a thing, guys.
Yeah, well, like, listen, you get to the 6-inch line, and they're going to give the ball to a 250-pound fullback.
I mean, so it wasn't just one of those, like, one thing happened. And so James Devlin, who, by the way, the playoff game where I had Cam Newton, I went against T.Y. Hilton and George Kittle. Yeah, I also have Sony Michel. And James Devlin cost me 10 points, not only vulturing the touchdown, but had a face mask penalty, which took back a 40-yard run from Sony Michel. So, yes, James Devlin, a 10-point vulture of Sony Michel.
I think
Where's James, my bitterberry?
I think the James White scenario is problematic for fantasy players, too, because there are a lot of us, pointing right here, who got to playoffs with the help of James White.
Yeah.
Who had, like, yesterday,
you can't use
that
him
was,
anymore.
It was unstartable.
Yeah, it's going to be back to, remember, back in the day, it was like you kind of had to decide what kind of game it would be from the Patriots and decide which of the backs you would start.
Who's going to have the day?
For this year, it was, you could start both of the Patriots back, James White and also Sony Michel. Now with Rex Burkhead back and James Devlin vulturing all those touchdowns, a little bit less clear. For the Dolphins, an amazing game, and kudos to them for being 7-6. That being said, it's still hard to find a single Dolphin you feel really good about starting in fantasy. Brandon Bolden had 60 rushing yards.
Brandon Bolden. This is a good stat that Thirsty Kyle texted me during the day. He doubled. Remember, he played from the Patriots, I think, from 2015 to 2017, right?
Longer than that, right?
Yeah, 2014.
He's been around for like 6 years, 7 years.
But I think from that 2015 to 2017 time period, he had 1 touchdown. He had 2 yesterday against them.
Yeah, it's been a while.
He doubled his output than the last 3 years that he was with the Patriots. So just, I mean, sort of out of nowhere, Frank Gore continues to defy age and gravity and genetics and everything like that. Looks amazing, but you don't feel good about starting him. Certainly not next week at Minnesota. You don't feel good about any of these teams. We'll see what Minnesota does tonight on Monday Night Football, Tarika, which is on ESPN. I'm a company man. Yeah, I mean, like, this is a hot mess.
Yeah,
it's a 7-6 hot mess.
Hot mess for the Dolphins for the most part. They are 7-6 now, still in the playoff thick. Let's get to the Bengals and the Chargers, who actually gave the Chargers more fits than we anticipated yesterday. Joe Mixon, 24.8 points. Mm-hmm. High five to Stefania. Her and I defended Joe Mixon last week when Mike Clay was trying to take us to task. RB3 or something.
Yeah,
nonsense. Mike Clay with his projections. What does he know about anything?
Right.
Find out tomorrow on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast.
Yes.
But for the Bengals, really, though, it's Joe Mixon. That's about it. Tyler Boyd yesterday, 3 for 52. John Ross scored again. Like, every time A.J. Green's not playing, John Ross scores. But it comes on, like, 1 or 2 catches. So, Tyler Boyd kind of was what he was. I don't think I learned anything new yesterday from the Bengals that we haven't already seen. Any disagreement there?
Nope.
They gotta say no.
No, we didn't. And listen, things do get better. I will say, like Tyler Boyd, you might be like, you know, 352 on the six targets, something like that. Oh, and Jeff Driskel certainly didn't inspire any confidence, but you look at their upcoming schedule, home to Oakland, at Cleveland, at Pittsburgh, you feel a little bit better about Tyler Boyd. I think he's still a wide receiver three.
The problem is they might be the worst team in football right now.
The Bengals?
They're terrible.
Dude, have you watched my Redskins?
Well, the Redskins and Bengals are the worst teams that have decent records. The worst team is the Cardinals. They're the worst team on the NFL this year.
And,
but
like there ain't a lot going on over in Detroit.
But my thing is, yeah, but Detroit's not much better. My point is this.
Or the
is
Jets.
That, like, anyways, my point is this, is that like teams like San Francisco and Oakland are at least playing hard. Yeah. Like, the Bengals are tough to watch, man. I'm not saying they're not playing hard, but like they're just brutal to watch.
They are brutal
right
to watch. But listen, they were much more competitive yesterday than I thought they would be. And same with the Raiders, sure, by the way. The Raiders are the Raiders might be the worst team in football, and yet they, I mean, from a talent standpoint, from a talent on their roster standpoint.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get to the Chargers. They win 26-21. This kind of felt like one of those games. Where
that's
like,
Fields' dismissal voice. All right, keep going. I'm just talking to Savanya.
If we could just get out of this game with a win and get to the Chiefs on Thursday night, we're good. Phillip Rivers, 13.5 fantasy points. Keenan Allen, 5 for 78 and a touchdown. But interesting here, Austin Eckler, 15 for 66 on the ground, Stefania. Then he gets banged up. A stinger issue is what we're hearing for Austin Eckler.
The biggest concern for them is that they play on Thursday.
Right.
You know, and you're talking about coming back from something that he has a history of this type of injury. It's got to be a little more concern for him. The good news is that we've been talking about Melvin Gordon doing well. I think some people thought he might even be back this last week. He wasn't quite ready, but it sounds like he could be available by Thursday. So stay tuned, but I believe that you will more likely to see Melvin Gordon than Austin Eckler.
You might want to see some Justin Jackson on the waiver wire column this week in case both of those players couldn't go. We'll find out. Let's keep an eye on whether they promote anybody else from the practice squad or add another body at running back. The Broncos lose to Stefania's beloved 49ers. 20-14 is the
49ers.
Final. First game without Emmanuel Sanders, and it was not Courtland Sutton who got banged up a bit himself. But Deshaun Hamilton and Tim Patrick, who went crazy for the Broncos, Matthew nailed it with the Deshaun Hamilton long shot call in fantasy football. Now, actually, Tim Patrick. So both of you are right. Two separate Broncos wide receivers. Matthew, what did we learn? Did we find out that any of these players is actually a worthy add right now in fantasy football for the final 3 weeks?
I think they're worth adding. I don't know that you feel confident about starting any of them. So it's worth adding just certainly in keeper leagues. I would assume Cortland Sutton's already been a long rostered in keeper leagues, right? But Deshaun Hamilton may still be out there. So I think that's sort of interesting here. One of the reasons that I like Deshaun Hamilton as the fantasy long shot was because I felt like he was going to run the majority of the slot roles. 42% of his, coming into this game, 42% of his routes had been run from the slot, which is where I think Keenum likes to throw and where Sanders had a ton of success in this offense. So, you know, at home against Cleveland, then at Oakland in week 16, home to a Chargers team that might be resting some players in week 17. So I do think Deshaun Hamilton is kind of an interesting name to roster. Sort of depends on your league and what else you have out there. But the other thing I think you learned here is that you don't feel that we're going to need to see it from Courtland Sutton before you can trust him. Because if ever there was a game for him to do something, this was it. And he didn't.
Yeah. I mean, it's all these guys are sort of like, I would like to see them.
See it consistently.
More, do it at least one more game. And the problem is we're running out of time. Some weeks will be over in week 16. For the 49ers, George Kittle was unbelievable. Literally historic. 7 for 210 and a touchdown in the first half alone, Stephon. He was unbelievable.
I know. I mean, look, we've been talking about him all year. Matthew, you were on the bandwagon for George Kittle perhaps earlier than anyone.
Yep.
And what he's been able to provide is consistency. No matter which quarterback is playing under center, no matter what the situation is, even on a team that's been dealing with injuries to pass catchers all around, the one consistent bright spot this year has been George Kittle, and he rewarded people who had him on their roster in the playoffs yesterday.
Truly remarkable performance from George Kittle. Actually, Kyle Shanahan said he apologized to Kittle after the games, and like I should have gotten you the record probably there. He needed just five yards. The all-time single
and
game
didn't get one
tight end.
I mean, it's unbelievable for a 2-10 team to not try to get their kid.
George Kittle is unreal. Dante Pettis had another touchdown, his fourth in three games. That's exciting to see. And Jeff Wilson, we thought he was going to be the guy. He was the guy. 24 total touches for 96 yards. Good to see that.
Marquise Goodwin comes back. Hard to sort of get back into the flow if it just gets two targets. But it is worth noting on Pettis, 7 or more targets and a touchdown in 3 straight now.
Mm-hmm.
Dante Pettis is a thing.
Yep.
Dante Pettis is a thing. Some upside ad right there.
Yeah, yep. I told you to watch out for him.
The Rams kind of got, they just got outmanned last night. Outmanned and outmatched against the Chicago Bears. 15-6 was the final for the Rams. Nothing doing. The only game I'd imagine this year where they had just one player in double digit scoring. That, of course, was Robert Wood, 7-for-61. But besides that, Todd Gurley, 11-for-28. Not what you're looking for from the fantasy MVP this season. Brandon Cooks, 3-for-22. Jared Goff didn't even make the page. He was so bad.
Know. You know what? This is just, I think it's just, I don't know if there's any analysis needed. The Bears are great, and they're great at home, especially. Jared Goff has struggled in his career in cold weather games. Throw it out. You're still, if you manage to survive this, and listen, it's brutal because you rode the Rams all the way to the playoffs here and then only to, you know, fall short in week 14. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that had Gurley or Woods or Cooks and, or Goff and are sitting at home now because they've lost their playoff game. You're still not allowed to complain. You're not, you got more production than you could have ever hoped for from any of the Rams that you would have reasonably rostered.
The schedule coming up is nice.
Eagles at the Cardinals, San Francisco, two out of those three games at home. For the Bears, another weird night. I tweeted this last night and their last five touchdowns, it's really remarkable. Their last five touchdowns have been this. All right. We've got last night. It was a touchdown pass to Bradley Sole, an offensive tackle. Last week, Akeem Hicks has a rushing touchdown. He's a defensive lineman. Tariq Cohen throws a touchdown pass to Anthony Miller.
Oh, that's right.
Chase Daniels, Daniel throws a pass to Adam Shaheen, their backup tight end.
Right.
Eddie Jackson has a pick six. So, like, nobody that we're counting on is scoring
Chase
touchdowns.
Daniel to Adam Shaheen is the most normal touchdown they've had in the last
which
five.
Which tells you everything you need to know right now about this Bears team. Jordan Howard rushes for over 100 yards. Tariq Cohen has 12.9 points. Trey Burton disappointed again, 2-for-22 last night, but really no player that did anything to inspire a ton of confidence in the first round of the playoffs for you. The Bears are unbelievable for defensive purposes. For offense, it's still a work in progress right now.
It is. I mean, I think you're still starting. Yeah, I think you're still starting Tariq Cohen, but I don't know that Mitchell Trubisky, and you're still starting the Bears defense, obviously, but Mitchell Trubisky, who, you know, was such a red hot quarterback there in the middle of the season. I don't know. Like, I like him at home against Green Bay, but you certainly don't feel confident about him. He's not a no brainer start.
Right.
You
like him, but you're a little bit hopeful is how I would describe you. If you're playing Mitch Trubisky.
Cautiously optimistic.
What he has done, over the past few games.
Cautiously optimistic.
A few more games here to wrap things up. The Steelers go to Oakland and lose yesterday. Unbelievable. 24-21. Chris Boswell misses an extra point. But the story of this game for a while was Ben Roethlisberger getting hurt, Stefania. He stayed out until they started to lose. And then he goes back in.
Yeah. Well, rib injury. I mean, the fact that he was back on the sidelines sounds like he was cleared to come in. Mike Tomlin said later that it was the game flow that the game flow at the time did not allow for him to return. However you choose to interpret it, the bottom line, he went into the locker room to get x-rayed, checked out, comes back. He's okay.
Yeah. Not a great game for Antonio Brown. 5-for-35. Juju was unbelievable though. 8-for-130 and two touchdowns. 33 points for Juju. But the real story was, how would this backfield shake out yesterday? Jalen Samuels and Stephen Ridley. The answer was an overwhelming Jalen Samuels is the guy. Stephen Ridley found the end zone, but he had 5 carries for 4 yards, 1 touchdown. Jalen Samuels, by the way, 7 catches on 7 targets, so 16.2. If James Conner misses next week and Adam Schefter reported it's possible he'll play, but we'll find out later on, then you have to figure Jalen Samuels is an RB2 again this week against the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, significantly.
I think it's more likely than not that it's Jalen Samuels.
Yeah, I think so too.
I would agree. And Stephen Ridley played 8 snaps.
46-8 was the snap count for Jalen Samuels over Stephen Ridley.
Right. Of course, Ridley, one of those snaps was
a touchdown.
A touchdown in the end zone. Guess who was starting Jalen Samuels in that game against Kittle and Hilton?
Probably a lot of people.
And me as well. Oh. I'm just saying, my Sony Michel gets vultured. My Jalen Samuels get vultured. Meanwhile, he starts Dante Pettis as his flex, who gets a touch. Come on. At least Austin Eckler showed up.
Yeah, for the Raiders yesterday, Derek Carr actually played well. 322 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. Jared Cook, as John Gruden said after the game, he's our MVP, our clear MVP. 7-for-116, 18.6
points. Matthew used to say he wasn't good at football.
Who? Jared Cook?
Yeah.
I don't know. I do remember that. For the longest time, he wasn't good at football.
All of a sudden,
he became good at football. I don't know what happened.
Other than Jared Cook, though, you're not starting
a Raider.
Maybe
he's still not good at football, but everyone else on the Raiders is so horrifically bad at football that just being not good at football makes him the greatest football player on the Oakland Raiders.
Maybe that's
the way to go.
It's all about a sliding.
It's
relativity.
Right. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king, right? Maybe that's what we're talking about here with Jared Cook. This is, you know, like, he's not good at football, but he's not horrific at football the way many of them are.
Well, it's certainly set up nicely for him.
No, listen, Jared Cook's had a great year.
Yeah, he's had a great year. Kudos to him. He has been very rock solid at a position where it's been hard to find that. The Lions win 17-3. There was just one touchdown scored in this game by an offensive player. That was Zach Zenner. Darius Slay returns a Josh Rosen pass.
Zach Zenner. Yeah. When are you getting your Zach Zenner tattoo, Secret Squirrel?
Disgusting.
Hopefully next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disgusting game, though, offensively all the way around. Kenny Golladay is limited to just 2 catches for 5 yards. Hello, Patrick Peterson.
But I think that's a key point because look at their upcoming schedule, right? So they're at Buffalo. So you figure Kenny Golladay is going to be up against Tre'Davious White. Then Minnesota. Yep. So you figure he's going to be, he's going to get some Xavier Rhodes.
Yep,
shadowing, and then whatever at Green Bay in week 17,
right?
Who's
Alexander's Julio'd yesterday?
Right, he got Julio, but Alexander's had a nice year overall. And by the way, that's going to be the last week of December at Green Bay. Yeah. Not exactly ideal passing conditions for Matthew Stafford. So, I don't know that I think he is a risky wide receiver 3 going forward. As much as we like Kenny Golladay as a player and is talented, the fact is Matthew Stafford looks awful. The whole offense is broken. I don't know what's going on there. But given the shadow situation, given the quarterback situation,
Matthew Stafford's fully healthy either. I mean, he came into yesterday's game as questionable with a back problem. You start having back problems as a quarterback who's had as much mileage on himself as he does, and the fact that things aren't going well. It's a bad combination. It doesn't look right.
David Johnson with the rare 1.5 yards per catch yesterday. 8 catches for 12 yards on 10 targets. They were awful as well offensively. 3 total points, 15 rushes for 49 yards. Honestly, rather than going into some deep dive about Trent Sherfield, I'm just going to tell you that Larry Fitzgerald now has more catches with one team than any other player in NFL history. It's 1,200 and I believe now 86 in counting. He's unbelievable. Good for Larry Fitz, 5 for 55 yesterday.
Hang on.
Happy to see good things.
I'll do respect here, Field Yates. Stay in your lane. Let me handle the hardcore analysis. Larry Fitzgerald is very good at football.
Thought you were going to say, Field, with all due respect, stay in your lane. I'll handle the analysis of the old guys. Robbie Anderson and the
also
Jets.
By the way.
Robbie Anderson and the Jets win 27-23. I think
you can
the
have
only
that one.
Fantasy storyline here is that Eli McGuire steps in after Isaiah Crowell re-aggravates a toe issue.
That's right. He came in to the game questionable. The toe issue was there, but we expected him to play. But it's so easy to flare these things up during game. That's what happened. Thank you very much, Eli McGuire, on my bench.
Eli McGuire got 17.3 fantasy points yesterday in relief. I actually think, though, that if Crowell sits and they have 3 games left, so maybe you just sit a guy who I don't think has ever missed a game in his career. But still, at this point, if you think he's part of your future, you got to maybe consider taking the bigger picture view. Eli McGuire, I guess, kind of in like low-end flex territory because somebody has to carry the football in this backfield. Matthew, he's their best shot.
He is, and look, they're home to Houston next week, and I don't know how much you feel good about
Saturday.
That, but Saturday, that's right, a game that I'll be at, as I mentioned. I'll be very excited.
Eli McGuire Bowl, baby!
You know, like a decent pass catcher here, you know, and by the way, Sam Darnold got banged up in this game, too. We don't even know who's going to be quarterback for the Jets in this one.
He came back to the game, though, so that was good.
But again,
it's right. You never know with the Jets.
You never know with the Jets, and, you know, things tend to act up. Listen, I'm no Stefania Bell. But I'll tell you, as somebody who's hosted a podcast with her for many, many years, I tell you, sometimes people come back into games and then they're not available for the next week because it's all about maintenance and what happens and somebody gets shot up during the game. But then over the course of the season, they look at it and they're like, oh, this is a little bit more serious. They're going to be very careful with Sam Darnold. If there's any chance of potential re-injury or further aggravating the injury, I believe they would be cautious here. Do you agree with that, Stefania?
I think that is a fair assessment.
There you go.
I think we also need to say that Stefania Bell is definitely the Jared Cook of this podcast, just doing as much as she can with the dearth of talent around her. You know what
fair.
I mean?
I'll agree with that.
Don't read into it too much. Just take the compliment and let's move on.
I wouldn't look too closely at it.
I'm not sure what the rest of us are. However, Josh Allen,
here,
over 100 rushing yards for Josh Allen yesterday. Again, he's got 335 rushing yards over the past 3 games. Yeah. It comes on 31 attempts. Like, at some point, you got to take it seriously now. You got to kind of take it seriously.
We took him seriously last week. I mean, like, I mentioned him as a viable QB2 streamer. Didn't mention him as a viable QB1, which is what he was. In fact, I believe over the last 3 weeks, he's the number one quarterback in fantasy. Is that right, Secret? Is that right? Thirsty Kyle's going to look that up for me.
Correct, but although you have to note that Patrick Mahomes did not play one of those weeks. So, it is correct, but still.
With an asterisk, still, I mean, by hook or by crook, you know, we're all talking about Lamar Jackson, but Josh Allen is, boy, oh boy, is he fun to watch. He's averaging over 10 yards a carry, and somehow he's sort of made Robert Foster kind of a thing.
Yeah, 2 out of 3 good games. Robert Foster out of Alabama can run straight and run straight really fast. Have a hard time trusting this passing offense, though.
He's agree
completed
with that.
50% of his passes over the past 3 games.
If there was one thing that's noting, though, it is worth noting he got 8 targets in this game. The other previous game had been all on one big play. But I was encouraged by the fact that he didn't actually even get in. He has a 17-point game without getting into the end zone. I mean, 7 for 104, it's worth raising your eyebrows at.
Sure, yeah.
I want to ask this question because we have a Twitter follower who is watching the show.
Wow, one whole Twitter follower?
Well, right. We have one in particular, Matt Hand, @MattHandThrows, watching the show from 34,000 feet in the air.
Wow.
So, that is impressive. And he wants to know if Josh Allen is a starter for the rest of the season.
I don't believe so, personally. I think that he is a 2-quarterback league must-start. I think that he is a streaming option at best in single-quarterback leagues.
I think streaming option is correct. He's definitely not a must-start here, but at home against Detroit next week, like, I think he'll probably have him top 15-ish.
Somewhere in that range, Yeah, 15 or go. So.
Thanks for watching from up in the air.
We can just pass on the Giants and Redskins.
By the way, I want to know because, like, whenever I try to get Wi-Fi on planes, it's so brutal. It's sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And there are different airlines, you know, that are better than others with their Wi-Fi because they use different systems, more proficient, that kind of stuff. And listen, when you travel with young children, Wi-Fi is important. I'm just going to leave it there.
Okay. I take you at your word on that. The final game of the day.
Just before we leave it, LeSean McCoy injured hamstring injury, left that Buffalo game early.
Chris Ivory also banged up with a shoulder issue.
Chris Ivory as well later on. But LeSean McCoy out with the hamstring makes you wonder if you're going to see him next
week. Marcus Murphy action in your life, perhaps, for those who are feeling bold and audacious. Last game here, and we can make it quick because it was ugly. Saquon Barkley and the Giants crushed the Redskins 40-16. All those points came late in the game for the Redskins. No Odell in this game, Stefania. He was ruled out on Saturday. A surprise.
Still bizarre. You know, we heard about it first on Friday when he was limited in practice, and it sounded like there wasn't a ton of information around it, but it sounded like...
Not a lot of concern either, though, at the time.
Exactly, because he didn't end up on the pregame injury report that's filed on Friday evenings. And then on Saturday, we found out, ruled out for this game.
Trip.
So it's hard to know, because of the bizarre way in which it came about, just how serious this is. But so stay tuned.
Saquon Barkley, 14 for 170 on the ground with a touchdown for the Redskins. Mark Sanchez has been benched in favor of Josh Johnson, who I think was quarterback 3 on the week, which is just ridiculous. And
well, I love that he watched Madden to get to know his teammates.
Yeah.
that was a quote from the post game. Yeah, we're just like, because he honestly... Like, he was signed last week when Colt McCoy was injured on Monday night a week ago. They needed a backup quarterback to Mark Sanchez, and so they signed Josh Johnson. Josh Johnson had been with the team less than a week, and he's going to end the week as a top 5 fantasy quarterback, a guy that wasn't on a NFL roster 7 days ago. And, I mean, and obviously didn't start this game. Listen, a lot of it was, just to be very clear about this, much of it was in junk time against backups in very soft coverage.
I mean, it was, of course, was total junk time.
They were down.
Sort of funny. We're not.
But I'm just saying, like, in case you were like, and Josh Johnson's been named the starter, but in case you're like, hey, is Josh Johnson a thing? Josh Johnson's not a thing. Right. It's a brutal offensive line. It's a lost season for the Redskins. It's just look, I think they're now at, and we'll see. We made it to week 14 before Jordan Reed got hurt, Stefania.
We did. He made the over on the over under of when Jordan Reed might go out with an injury.
But
a foot injury, obviously in a lot of pain, had to be helped back to the locker room. I would not be planning on Jordan Reed being available.
At the moment, I believe the Redskins have 18 guys on injured reserve. We'll see if Jordan Reed gets shut down for the year. It certainly would make Vernon Davis. Did Vernon Davis make your waiver wire
call? He will be on the waiver wire call, which will be out later on this afternoon. Not that there's a lot of hope in that Washington offense, but there are also, again, very few tight ends that you can trust. So Vernon Davis will be on the waiver wire column. Kyle, we have all racked our brains for the only other tight end besides George Kittle with 270-plus yard receiving.
Three.
My best guess was Vernon Davis. Matthew, who's your best guess?
My best guess in terms of active.
No, not active.
It doesn't have to be active?
Nope.
Oh, boy.
Since 2001.
I had a random other guess.
70-plus rushing. I mean, 70-plus receiving.
Ooh.
I'm gonna say a random one in Travis Kelce, I would say. Oh no. Vance McDonald. Vance McDonald would be one of my guesses.
Okay, that's a guess. Stefania, do you have one?
Didn't Julius Thomas have some big, crazy...
Okay, so all three of you had a guess. I'm going to narrow it down. It is a person who played the majority of their career in the AFC South.
It's not AFC Mercedes South. Lewis, is it?
It is not Mercedes Lewis.
Delaney Walker?
It is not Delaney Walker. Nope.
Ooh, is it Dallas Clark?
It is not Dallas Clark, although you're getting closer.
Jacob Tammy?
It is not Jacob Tammy.
Marcus Pollard.
It is Marcus Pollard.
No!
58 gets
Marcus
it
Pollard
right.
Ran, he wasn't that fast, really?
Yeah.
No, he must have been a total.
That's the only other guy?
Yeah, coverage like,
only
no
other guy
way.
Other than George Kittle.
There's
Marcus
no way.
Pollard.
Yeah.
All right, a lot of people, when I woke up today, I didn't think I was going to be talking about Marcus Pollard, and yet here I am. Josh Johnson and Marcus Pollard, all the big names on the Fantasy Focus 06010. Anyway, I was going to say about my Redskins is 18 people, last year 25 players on the injured reserve, now 18 players, second straight year, they have led the league in that dubious category. There's bad luck, but at some point when everyone keeps getting injured, I feel like the organization has to look within and start asking some hard questions.
Matthew Berry, TMR on all forms of social media except for the Fantasy Life app. She's StefaniaB87 on Instagram and Stefania_ESPN on Twitter. I'm at Field Yates. We are back tomorrow. You know what the drill is. Waiver wire pickups, Monday Night Football recaps, probably some fantasy heartbreak, and a little bit of fun dashed in as well. Talk
and
to you guys
we
then.
Make Mike Clay defend his Joe Mixon ranking.
Boom.
Peace out. Then.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Berry convert you.
Secret squirrel, Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Meet